This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, folks, we're moving. Starting next week, you'll find us over on our This Is Saskatchewan feed. Same politics, same chat, just a new home with the much fancier logo. You can find This Is Saskatchewan wherever you get your podcasts. Hit follow and you'll never lose track of us. Until then, let's get started. This week, we're talking about the tariff threat from U.S. President Donald Trump. It continues. The Canadian government was able to negotiate a minimum 30-day reprieve. Now, as that cloud lingers, Premier Scott Moe has preached a de-escalation, even commended the federal government for its efforts. Meanwhile, the NDP are calling for more action for Moe and his government. Breaking it all down, here's my conversation with Leader Post columnist and our political panelist, Murray Mandrick. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning.
So, Murray, this has been sort of our usual talk on Fridays. Yeah. It's not going away. And we heard from Premier Scott Moe right before and after that announcement from Prime Minister Trudeau about a pause in those tariffs. What stood out to you from those messages from Moe both before and then after?
Well, I'll go halfway. And what stood out for me was the immediate message after Saturday's alleged imposition of the tariffs that turned out to be for naught because they were quickly withdrawn. And we're going to get into the games that are getting played here in a second. But I thought Premier Moe was far too tepid, was tone deaf to the tone of everybody, not just in the province but in the country, that want strong leadership and want someone in a position of authority to call Donald Trump out, particularly on Donald Trump's untruths. And I think that this is still remains a problem for Premier Scott Moe. However, in that message after on Saturday morning, there was one thing, and I think he said it before, and it fits into the theme of what is really going on, I think, in Washington, and other people smarter than I have talked about it, and I've talked about it today. But Premier Scott Moe talked about hearing how on a news panel someone say that you take Donald Trump seriously but not literally. And that's very much true. And we'll probably get into that in a moment as to why you don't quite take him literally and take him seriously. I think as a politician, what Scott Moe needs to do is to not take Donald Trump's truth seriously and literally. And I think that he needs to start calling them out on behalf of the Canadian population, starting with fentanyl, because the problem is not the fentanyl flowing south from Canada into the U.S. It's actually flowing north. The same thing is for immigration. It's the opposite problem with guns, though. We aren't exporting guns to the U.S., but we are sure getting a lot of guns up here from the U.S. Canadian politicians like Moe, while they're doing the right thing, I think, in terms of border security, because actually we need our borders protected from what's coming up from the U.S., and that is a good thing. But they need to make the point that they're doing this because not because they're doing it at Donald Trump's behest, but because that we actually do have a problem with the U.S. and trade issues and things happening. And this is really a problem. I don't think it has really anything to do with the endless games that are being played by the Trump administration right now and their scattergun approach to everything.
Moe mentioned that he'll be heading down to the U.S. and to Mexico to talk with business leaders, politicians, I'm assuming. Just with the unpredictability of the U.S. president at the moment, how does a premier or the prime minister deal with that? And you alluded to some of those things, taking him seriously, not seriously or literally, but what is the strategy from a day-to-day? Because this is affecting jobs and lives and livelihoods and the cost of living here in Saskatchewan.
It absolutely does. I don't know what the trip to Mexico accomplishes or building an alliance with them because it is per the problems with immigration, fentanyl, drugs, other issues. They're quite different in for the U.S. from Mexico compared with Canada, far, far more serious. So we're on a different level at that. However, it probably does make sense for Scott Moe to basically build trade alliances, build contacts with whatever influence they have on Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem. I am not 100% sure anything influences Donald Trump right now. And, we were talking before, I alluded to my column today, the Ezra Klein piece in the New York Times, basically talking about Steve Bannon's 2019 interview in which he talks about media being dumb, lazy. Well, perhaps he's right, but that aside, the strategy of the Trump first administration was to just hammer everybody with as much information, false or otherwise, as possible. So the media is chasing their tail on daily ridiculous stories and not keeping their eye on the prize in terms of what's really going on out there. Well, look at the first 2 weeks, and that's all it's been, is first 2 weeks of Trump information administration. Look at all the stuff that we've been chasing. You know, the Gulf of America, the hearings related to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., all the stuff that is such a distraction. The tariffs are on, the tariffs are off, it's fentanyl, it's a trade imbalance. We just, every day it's a different story. And this is the Bannon strategy of keep three or four things, throw three or four against the wall, see what sticks, and deal with it. What politicians like Scott Moe can do, if they can do anything, is focus on the reality, because Donald Trump is governed by certain factors. He's governed by the fact that the public opinion. He's governed by the stock market, and basically we worry that a bad reaction to his policies means a loss of support, which bothers him greatly. So there are things and soft points where we can survive this whole Trump administration, but that's got to be their focus. And once again, I think it begins with calling out Donald Trump for things that are simply not true.
When it comes to domestic policy and dealing with things that may help the economy here, there's been all this talk about breaking down trade barriers. We hear this, you know, removing red tape. We've heard it from the Saskatchewan government for a long time. We had a guest on earlier who said that there doesn't seem to be a lot of this necessarily, that there's the New West Partnership. There's these other deals that were made within Canada that seem to suggest that this isn't a major issue, but this is being touted by the opposition federal leader as being something that needs to be done. Just how much of an issue are internal trade barriers, internal issues within Canada holding us back from our economic prosperity, let's say?
I agree with Pierre Poilievre. I think this is an issue. It's been an issue with consecutive governments for years now. We have silly rules related to trucking and things like that. The weather in Canada does vary somewhat from place to place and season to season, obviously. But in terms of when you're a trucker going across the country, probably not all that much. I get that it's different driving a semi in downtown Toronto versus the prairies, and that's why we have different rules, because most of the semi owners in Saskatchewan happen to be farmers. But we need to basically account for things like that, so we have easier ability to trade from province to province, because that is holding us back. That's actually, you know, is I think Pierre Poilievre pointed out in a recent video that this barrier is actually bigger than almost any other barrier internationally that we face. So let's deal with that. I don't know how we deal with that. We don't have a parliament sitting when we have a liberal leadership that's going to choose the next prime minister and then probably an election, because it takes time to cut through this red tape. So I hope whomever comes in is the next federal government comes in with a more substantive plan to deal with all this.
Turning to the NDP, and we heard on the news that they're calling for a number of things earlier this week. They called for a Saskatchewan task force to deal with the tariffs and the economy. Carla Beck said that SLGA shouldn't be purchasing U.S. booze. She also said that we should be prioritizing Saskatchewan and Canadian companies for government contracts. We talked about the emergency session last week, but what do you think of those ideas?
Sure. Great ideas. But this isn't what Carla Beck is interested in. Carla Beck is just interested in getting her name and the NDP name in the conversation. And I get that, because that's what politicians need to do. In lieu of the ability to criticize government right now because Scott Moe is doing the wrong things, they have to basically agree with the premise that Scott Moe and everyone else has put forward, that these trade tariffs are bad. And they have to find a way to be part of that conversation and offer something. I'm not saying that what they're offering is necessarily wrong or inadequate. Of course, it's perfectly fine. But the fact of the matter is it's being offered because generally, while they'd love to have a session back and have question period every day and criticize government on other matters, but they'd also they just also want to be part of the big issue. It's a problem with oppositions when there's an external threat or an external issue where they can't oppose. They just generally have to agree.
Murray, thanks for this.
You're very welcome.
That's Murray Mandrick, who writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. He's part of our weekly panel here. If you have thoughts on what Murray had to say or the issues we talked about, you can send us an email, morningedition@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.